That was episode 3 of Game of Thrones season 4. What did you think about rape, Kyle?
I was a little unsure, I have to admit. It threw me because up to this point, it seems like they've really tried to make Jamie very redeemed. Taking it from that first episode up until now. And while Cersei is not the most loved character on the show, it is a little odd because there's a sense that it could be consensual. And I only say that based on the preview for the next episode, in which they're having a pretty mundane conversation as far as Westeros goes. But the show itself, it seems very not consensual. But what was your point of view on it? Because you had a theory on that yourself.
Oh, it was just... I can't remember. What did I say? I don't even remember.
Well, just that it wasn't that she didn't want it. It was just the place was not appropriate.
Oh, right. Yeah, you know, it was, yeah, I mean, she was mourning the death of her son. And then, you know, Jamie takes his Valyrian steel and sheathes it in her woo-hoo-hoo. That's probably not the best place. That's not going to stir any eroticism out of my end. And I was asking for it.
Now, do you think he knew he was going to do it right away? Or, like, when he sent those priests away? Or was it something that he had that he only did in the moment?
Well, I think it was a moment. It was absolutely a plan. It was the first time that they were probably alone in a place in, like, maybe a week. Because he said they hadn't been with her for, like, how long? Hadn't seen her for a while. I don't remember offhand. But it's from the book. I mean, this does happen in the book, so I understand everyone's, you know, oh no moment. I guess a lot of this has come from people that don't read the books.
Yeah, I mean, in the books, it's definitely more consensual. I mean, like, clearly. It's clearly more consensual. Here, there is a bit of a controversy regarding that, I would say.
But I mean, sure. I don't know. I think there's controversy where there shouldn't be any controversy. I think it's just, it's a consensual moment, and it's the heat of the moment, and she's upset because he's doing her in the sept next to her dead son. So, I mean, that's a little off-putting. But yeah, I think that's about as far as it goes.
But I think really we should wait until next week before we really lay full judgment on it. Because next week I think we'll provide some repercussions for that event.
Sure.
I mean, if there are any. Whether it's from Cersei's point of view or Jamie's point of view. You know, we will see people's emotions and, you know, reactions to that next week, hopefully. Which I think will give us a better indication as to whether that was rape or whether that was more consensual, hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more consensual. It's going to be in the consensual category. Category.
Because the director said that it was consensual, at least from his point of view. But
yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't know why the controversy is so ridiculous. It's not needed. I don't see anyone kind of tick. I don't know. I don't understand why it's kind of being like this.
But I do think it just could have used a few more seconds where she stops saying no and maybe embraces him a little bit more.
Maybe.
It gets cut pretty quick after she says no a few times. But I do feel, though, that she would have, I don't know, appreciated Jamie junk.
In George R.R. Martin's world, no means yes.
I won't quite go that far, but it is...
Come on now, look at the man.
Definitely a little bit more of a departure from the books. And
no means yes!
Curious to see where it goes. Well, in New Mexico, maybe. I don't know about in Westeros.
Oh,
Here I come. My Valyrian steel is ready to be thrust in your womanly wetness. Oh. That's George R. R. Martin.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a sick, sick man.
Well, he is. He is. Probably literally as well as figuratively. And that guy.
Why? You think. You think he has some kind of illness?
Well, he's so fat. Come on, he's got to have something going on.
Oh, something I agree. On. I'm sure there's some. There's diabetes aplenty going on those feet.
Oh, yeah. That's not pleasant. Not pleasant
I think
at
he
all.
He has gold feet, just like has a gold hand. That's where he got it from.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Interesting.
My gold foot because I lost them to diabetes. You cannot kill the dragon only through sugar consumption and lack of glucose.
Well, it's entirely possible.
Oh, it's possible.
Yeah. Now,
but
yeah.
Well, I mean, I you want to keep going on the rape thing, or do you want to press on to the rest of the good episode?
Well, do you think that marginalizes all of Jamie's prior redemptive status?
No. He says, I love you. He says, you know, why do the gods make me love a hateful woman? It's right. Out of passion. I don't think it's out of rapey weirdness. Because I've seen lots of movies and lots of romantic sequences that are just like that, and I don't hear any bitching about that.
Well, it's also interesting, too. There's been incest and murder and child murder. And I don't exactly know what else, but at the end of the day, this is what bothers people. This is the one thing where it's like we're crossing the line here.
Yeah, can't do that. Right. I'm cool with the... We're the brother-sister fucking, but do not get into the whole, you know, force the brother-sister fucking.
Right. Yeah, I was like, okay. I mean, I guess everyone's has a right to have some sort of moral high ground, but it feels a little late. It feels a little late now, if you've been watching the whole show, to finally decide this is what I'm going to complain about.
Yeah.
Because, I think even Danny is... I don't think it's quite as aggressive, but she is raped early in the first season.
Yes.
I mean, there's no way that she wanted that. That's for sure. I think the one thing that separates Danny from Cersei, at least in that first season, was that Danny was not nearly as confident or as strong as Cersei is right now. So, I think if she had been as confident now as she was... confident than she is now, then I think it would have been a different story. As to how the rape would have gone down, it would have been much more aggressive and physical. But because she was so just bending the knee to anyone who asked of her, then she was quick just to lay down and take it, so to speak. So it felt less rapey. It felt less rapey because it is so just, you know, she's just laying there. Because she's almost afraid of the dragon, so to speak. At that point.
Right.
But you heard no complaints then, but now, I think now that it's a little more obvious, then people are, they have a, feel more of a need to stand up for it.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember, prior to this episode, I think Jack Gleason had mentioned that he was in this episode, but he enjoyed it because he just got to sleep. But he said that there were some spoilers he could not give away, which evidently,
obviously.
Yes, that's what it was,
That was that's a pretty good way to earn a paycheck that week.
And this again was Alex Graves directed this episode, who did the last one as well, so.
Yeah. Well, are these the only ones he directed, or is he doing the last episode as well?
He's doing the last episode and maybe another one. I think he's doing four of this season, so he may have another one on the books. But, do you have anything further to add to this, rape?
No, I'm done. I'm sick of hearing about it, to be honest.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds like
I don't care.
Wow.
I don't know why it was an issue. It's not. I don't know. I think we shouldn't worry about it too much. Let's worry about real rape. Let's go after the real rapists in the world, not a fictional show.
There you go, Richard. Keep it in perspective. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's come good. On, guys. Let's not be so adamant about, you know, shit that's not real. If you're that upset, go fucking volunteer at a shelter and help out with battered women and shut up.
Yeah, and you know, if you're not a fan of rape, then I wouldn't recommend. What was that French movie where the guy gets like face?
Irreversible.
Yeah, Irreversible. Don't see
Irreversible.
That. Don't see that movie.
Yeah,
please.
That's
please.
Now that's a movie where you just are like, oh wow.
Yeah, if you don't like this movie or the show, then that will not be a movie for you. So avoid it at all costs. Avoid that.
Yeah, I would say definitely avoid it at all costs.
Boy, there was a time when people weren't so concerned, Richard. When they understood the line between reality and fiction. Here it's...
We don't live in that world anymore, so whatever.
Yeah, it says freaking dragons, but still, hey. I guess it's real for some people.
Apparently. But I did like the fictional stuff with the wildlings in this episode.
I was gonna say yes, there is a lot more to this episode. So yeah, and in that particular scene, you've got who was the girl again? Ygritte, is that
Ygritte. Who I guess they're alluding that kid's gonna kill her in the last episode because you don't know how she dies in the books. They don't really. Oh, spoiler, she dies.
Well, it was an arrow. But, it was an arrow. She gets shot from
an arrow. Yeah, it's an arrow, but, like, she dies off book. Like, Jon Snow finds her.
Is that how it was? He saw her
he
die.
He finds her. No, he finds her in the aftermath. I don't know if he sees her die. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, it's been a while since I've read it, so.
But I just remember the aftermath is he finds her, and they have, like, a last moment together.
Okay,
and she says, "You know, nothing, Jon Snow." And then she dies. He's all Jon Snow. He's gone, Jon Snow.
Yeah. This is something where they kill a village to basically just bring out the Night's Watch, kind of draw them out a little bit.
Yeah, it was very, very Lord of the Rings to me.
How so?
It just reminded me of the scene in Two Towers where they attack that village, the Uruk-hai and the wild men. It's in, I think, the extended cut. They attack that village that's the little sea village.
Right,
river village.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about this? Because this is new, I believe, because I think the guys who take Craster's Keep are killed by the White Walkers. They're killed
are
by...
Are they? I don't remember.
No, I'm wrong. No, they're killed by Cold Hands. That's who kills them.
And now this one, Jon Snow going to go kill him.
Right, yeah. Now, I have to say, I like this addition because basically all Jon Snow does is argue with, I don't know, the guys at the watch, what were their names?
Yeah, it gives him something to do that we can actually watch.
Right.
As opposed to hear him talk constantly.
Yeah, because he's just arguing with Slint and Alistair, two bearded guys who work there, basically. And And they fortify their positions, and that's basically the whole chunk of his book, or his storyline in this particular book. So I do like the idea of giving them something to do.
Yeah,
at least it'll make for a bit more of an exciting sequence with him, I suppose, as time goes on. Because the idea of him just sort of taking a hammer and, you know, building sounds kind of dull.
Speaking of dull, yeah. I think the worst moments are Gilly and Samwell.
That shit was so boring. Oh,
it's just pointless because it's just that doesn't happen in the book.
No.
That's all show created. But I don't. I mean, I don't know where that's going to go. I'm kind of like, not interested. Even the brand stuff that wasn't in this episode, but every time they go to the brand stuff, I just kind of zone out. It's a lot more interesting in the book, but in the show, it's kind of just. It's literally like 5 minute scenes, and then they cut to something else that's more interesting. I don't know if it's just I keep getting caught off guard by how massive Bran's nose has grown in the last four seasons, or just that he looks like a very handsome woman. I don't know.
No, yeah, I will say this Sam Gilly stuff was really dull. And it didn't add up to anything. From what I can guess, because this, again, like you said, it's not in the books. But from what I can guess, the wildlings will kill her, and Sam will get upset, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, maybe he'll kill Ygritte in a fit of passion and rage. But.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, that kid's. You can already see it. It's pre-written. It's sealed. Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. That kid's gonna kill her. He's gonna get revenge.
Oh, the one that they let live. The one that went back to the castle.
Yeah, the kid. Yeah, the kid's gonna get a shot at her, and he's gonna take her out specifically because they're gonna need everybody they can to man the wall. So he's gonna be one of the guys. So he's gonna be the one that kills her.
Well, I will say that there's no Mance Rayder's wife yet. And,
nope.
And it's the Red Witch doesn't really need to have that storyline to send that kid.
Not yet.
Because it's sort of unnecessary. It just, as far as the show goes, it doesn't add up to anything. So no. I could really see them killing Gilly off if they wanted to. By the Wildlings.
Maybe.
It doesn't add up to anything in the books, and she's just kind of weighing the show down at this point. As far as storyline goes.
Yeah, I'd agree, but I don't know. I don't think they'll necessarily kill her. Maybe she'll just. It's possible. I wouldn't disagree with you there.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, because I don't. I mean, you know what? I'd welcome her death. If it continues to go this route.
It's
pretty boring.
There's nothing going on there. And for my money, Dragonstone, nothing going on there either. Holy shit, that was boring too.
Oh, I kind of like that. They're going to bring in the Iron Bank or storyline, which is kind of interesting. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I like Davos enough to kind of be okay with those scenes. I think what's his name? Is his name Liam or the actor? I can't remember.
Liam Cunningham. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot.
I do too. Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah.
So he's kind of one of the guys I like to watch on the show because he's just such a great actor. So his scenes kind of are elevated just by his gravitas.
I would agree. I mean, if it wasn't him playing that character, I'd probably be much less interested. So
yeah.
So thankfully, it is him. And I have liked him over the years, and so I was glad to see he got cast as this character.
Right.
But it's just sort of a scene that, or character, or storyline that has so far dragged.
Right.
And I get the need to sort of, what would you say, kind of tease what's going to happen next. But
yeah,
I also feel like, why not just say it? It just, there's no...
Right.
There's no real rhyme or reason to kind of holding it off that much, because as a person who's read the books, I know what the Iron Bank is and what it means to Westeros and to whatever the free cities across the Narrow Sea. But to the guy or girl watching the show, they're not going to know or give two fucks about it, really. So I kind of feel like they should maybe have describe a little bit more about what the point of that was.
Right.
Because I think people are going to be just scratching their heads more or less.
Well, I don't know. I feel like this always with these episodes, the strong additions are always the Hound and Arya scenes, which was great this week. And then you also had you also had the Daenerys stuff, which is always pretty good. But what was funny, I was watching it with friends, and it was funny, they mentioned that they brought up a good point. He goes, I like Daenerys storylines because she actually does stuff and gets things done and progresses the story forward. And I was like, oh, well, just wait till she tells the audience she's not going to Westeros anymore.
I mean, that's coming very soon, by the end
of
the
season.
In
book five. Yeah, I mean, it gets to the point where she's just like, I can't leave yet. I got to fix this problem first. So you're going to be like going, no. Fucking go. Move, you dumb bitch.
Yeah. This was a bit I liked. You didn't get a lot out of this scene with her, but it was only one scene, so I'll give it a pass. But I did think it was kind of funny when basically everyone tries to volunteer to fight this champion of Meereen.
Right, yeah.
Which also seemed kind of pointless.
That was a good scene, though. I did like the point of view of the cock. That was pretty funny.
But I did think
that
it was
pretty good.
It was a little pointless because it wasn't really explained. Like, who cares if, say, their champion wins? Like, it doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
It's just like he kills somebody. Okay.
I don't remember. Was that in the book, though? I don't remember that.
Yeah, but it was Belos or whatever, the fat guy that fights him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he kills
him.
Okay. Yeah.
But right.
But I did like that everyone volunteered. It was like, me. No, me. It was like,
right, yeah.
And they all gave their reasons. Yeah.
Right, yeah, that's pretty good. They just wanted to pull out their dicks and be like, I'll piss on the ground.
Yeah.
Let me piss on the ground.
They should have all gone and pissed at the same time, except for Grey Worm. He could have just cried alone.
No, Grey Worm just doesn't have any balls. He still has his pee-pee.
Yeah, but he wouldn't want to pull it out.
No, he can pull it. It's probably huge. It's just he can't get a boner. Or actually, he can. They did disprove that just because your balls are cut off, you can still do it. That's a little myth that occurred. In reality, I guess eunuchs did still manage to have sex with whatever they had around them. It just proves the human male, when the chips are down, he'll still find a way to put his ding-dong in something.
Well, maybe Grey Worm can get some dragon fire on his cock and he can get some balls back.
Exactly.
That'll be the next episode.
Yeah, he'll just get Maester Qyburn. He'll fix up some, you know, temporary balls, and he'll fix up the Unsullied.
Perfect. It's all taken care of.
That would be book seven. That's how it ends. The Unsullied get their balls back, and they don't want to fight anymore. They just want to fuck. and then Daenerys loses the war.
It's all downhill from there. It's all downhill.
Yep. And it's an allegory. It's about, you know, men with balls are the worst thing that ever happened in human history. That's what it's going to be ultimately.
And again, with this scene at Meereen, I thought it ended a little abruptly, but I did like the slave collars being sent over the edge. It was
nice little piece of psychological warfare.
But I did kind of wonder, what does it say about Daenerys when she's almost trying to push these poor slaves to fight for her? She doesn't want to fight her own battle with her Unsullied. She'd rather try and convince these people to, like, take a bullet for her.
Well, it's smart.
Yeah. But it is... I wonder if she's... Is she really that concerned about these slaves? Or is she just using them to fight her battles for her?
She's the perfect politician.
She is pretty good. Because if they really thought about it, they'd be like, why am I going to fight for you? This seems unnecessary for me. You have swords, I don't.
I got a rock. I can use a rock, but then they'll shoot me with a bow and arrow.
Right.
The crossbow, just like they did in that drunken night, which was a great scene, straight from the book, with Sansa and Peter Baelish.
Which one?
The Sansa scene where she goes on the boat. She
the drunken
wedding.
Night. Okay.
Yeah. That was really a nice like direct lift from the book. It was pretty good.
That was great. And it was great to see Peter Baelish back, who was as creepy as ever. Call me Peter. I like that line. That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
But yeah, so you don't know where they're going, but they are off to hopefully bigger and better things, and hopefully we see more of their storyline quickly, because I'm hopeful that this develops a little bit more and gives Sansa a little more to do. Because the way the show has been going, they've been doing their own thing, so I wouldn't mind seeing her maybe, I don't know, getting a bit more of her own storyline as opposed to just being part of it.
Yeah, I agree. But she's, in the book, she's a pretty important character. I mean, she does have her own point of view chapters.
Right, and but I think, go ahead, yeah.
No, but I'm just saying that they're usually, it just involves her seeing the plot points from other characters. She really has nothing to do with it. She's just the witness, and she's usually just taking care of Robin, the little, bitch boy.
Right, I never did like him. But I did like Dantus's line where he says,
kill him.
That she's stronger than she knows, or something to that effect, which I'm hoping she takes to heart and actually tries to use that strength.
I think the best line was the Hound this week, where he goes, Arya's pissed off because he stole the silver from that old man and his daughter. And he goes, the winter's coming, the world's cruel. How many Starks have to get their heads cut off before you have to know this? Or see that paraphrase of that.
Yeah,
effect.
He had some good lines, I thought. Yeah. Again.
Well, I wish they'd have a spinoff show. I want to see them solve crimes every week. Arya and the Hound on Fox.
Well, once you get all the footage you'll get of them, hopefully someone has a cut to
super make cut.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. I'd watch that on YouTube. On YouTube.
Right.
But overall, it was an enjoyable episode. I liked it. So, they're always good. I can't really find anything to complain about with this show. I'm a fan. I think they're doing a really good job, and I'm excited to see where they're going to take it in the future.
Also, I thought it was interesting to note, this is probably the only episode so far that used footage from the previous episode. Right at the very beginning with Cersei and crying over Joffrey.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like... they did that in the episode, the first season, the last episode, because remember it was right after they cut off Ned Stark's head.
And
they were still using that footage for Arya.
Okay.
So it's not the first time. So you're wrong.
I am wrong. There you go. Oh, and Tommen. And
you're
Tommen,
wrong.
Tommen, and we didn't talk about his scene with...
with Tywin. That was a good... Yeah. That was a good scene.
I like that.
Your brother was not a good king.
Because it definitely shows that Tywin is taking control of this king in a much greater way than he ever did with Joffrey.
Right.
And
Tommen would actually be the better king anyway.
He would be, yeah. And Cersei is losing control of this kid.
Right.
Just as she did with Joffrey, but in a different way. Because he's so easily manipulated that he's looking to Tywin for advice rather than her. I think that makes her really upset.
Yeah. I would rather go to Tywin.
So would I. And we didn't talk about the orgy. Come on.
Oh, yes. The straight up, right away, you cut to a scene where a chick's getting eaten out. It's like, wow, yeah, this is Game of Thrones. I forgot they do this.
Right, yes. Yes.
Just in case you forgot, this is HBO, man. We can do this shit.
Right. Yes. There's three women, two guys. Prince Oberyn is definitely bisexual. That's pretty established here. And I did like that Tywin Rot walks right in and is unfazed, to say the least.
Well, you know, it's the Dornish people. They're a crazy group of fuckers.
And he also... The only real bit in this scene is he invites Oberyn to join Tyrion's... to be a judge in Tyrion's trial.
Yes.
Which is a key part of the book, and we'll see that develop further as the show goes on. And we get a bit with Tyrion as well, where he says goodbye to Podrick. Poor Pod.
Right.
Poor Pod.
Well, I'm glad to see that Bronn in the trailers, he's going to be in next week's episode, so they're not getting rid of him yet.
Oh, I didn't notice him. He's in it. He is.
Yeah, he's in it. He was fighting Jaime. He's training with Jaime still.
Oh, right.
So
right.
They still
right.
got yeah. those scenes to do, so that's good. I was hoping to see more of Bronn.
But I wonder what they'll do with him.
I don't know.
Because he could get killed. Because he has nothing to do. There's a possibility there to kind of up the threat to Tyrion that they start knocking off people that he knows.
Well, I don't know. I think ultimately what the show does is it doesn't kill people who are ruthless. So I think Bronn's going to be the only guy that really gets away with anything at the end of the day.
It's possible. I'll be curious.
I'd like to see that. I think that'd be kind of funny. Because just so you know, like it goes to show you, anybody that has honor in Westeros is going to die, and the guys that have no honor and who are just there to survive are going to live a long life. You right. don't fight yeah. with honor.
But
he did.
But I think you could agree that it's possible he could die.
Oh sure, yeah, I'm sure they can do that.
Because at this point, he served his purpose. And they
yeah.
definitely get rid of him without really hurting the story at all.
But he's become, like I said, he's the Boba Fett of Game of Thrones, so he's a fan favorite. I don't know if they would want to kill him off too soon.
No. And we thankfully didn't see any Reek this episode. No Bran. Yes. No Ramsay.
No Bran.
No Shay.
I don't hate the Reek stuff, though. That doesn't... I don't like the Brand stuff, and I don't like the Shay stuff, because the Shay stuff is just confusing me. I don't know what they're going to do with her.
Well,
I feel like
pop up later.
It's... She's going to pop up in Tywin's bed. She has to. And that's going to drive Tyrion. That's going to drive Tyrion over the edge, and that'll be the end of everything. Because that makes the most sense. Like, she's gone, but I think the way that they're setting it up, I feel like they're alluding to it was all an act with her, maybe.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's pretty fucked up if that's where they're going. Because man, poor Tyrion, he can't trust anybody. Because she really laid it on him.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see more of. Who was it? Well, I mean, hopefully more of her later. But I forgot my thought. I had a thought, but now I lost it. I don't know.
You're thinking about her porno. That's all.
Yeah, it's all. Well, I've seen that.
You're thinking that. About Shay's pornos.
I didn't watch. Oh no, Podrick. Yeah, I want to see more of him. But I'll be curious how soon we see more Pod.
Well, Podrick goes with Brienne. Remember?
Right. Right. I don't
so
remember.
That,
but I'm just...
that might happen. That's still up. That might still happen for the show.
It could happen sooner than later, I guess.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Because the next episode... Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying he's another kind of a fun character that's really kind of come out ahead on the show as opposed to the book where he's just kind of there. In the show, he's got a real personality and the story, the storyline of him being like this coxman is just pretty funny. Like, everybody talks about, how great in bed he is because... Everyone kept whispering that they set up in season 3.
Right. I do like his character, and I will say that in the books, when he joins up with Brienne, I didn't even remember who he was. I had to look him up. But audience members will have no problem remembering him.
Right, yeah.
When he joins with her, assuming he does. I figure he will, but...
Well, you gotta remember, as a reader, you have a book that separates that.
There's a lot of story between that and the...
Yeah.
Next. But the next episode is Oathkeeper, so I'm assuming this will be when Brienne gets her sword and begins her quest to take a tour of Westeros and admire the countryside and all its depravity.
Before it goes to shit.
Yeah, well, it's already to shit, but it'll get...
Oh, no, much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the stuff with the Hound, though?
Well, I liked it. I thought it was great.
I enjoyed it, but did you feel like they didn't quite wrap that up?
Well, it's not wrapped up yet. It's still going. It's not...
I guess. Yeah.
I think they'll probably wrap that up. I feel like they might go all the way to the end with them.
Oh, with them for sure, but I'm just... I feel like there was more with that particular bit with the farmer that they could have done. I'm not quite sure what, but it seemed like they didn't quite take it to completion.
I mean, I got its point across. You don't want to spend too much time...
Maybe I just wanted to see more of them. Maybe that was all it was.
Maybe that's what it is.
I did want to see more of them.
Yeah.
Because they're so barely in it. As you see, I could take a whole show about them alone, and I'd be happy.
Solving crimes in San Francisco.
Whatever, you know. They just announced that they're going to put season 5 on hold and just do a whole season with them.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like,
we got a new case, Aria. We got a guy that calls himself the Zodiac. He sounds like a cunt.
Lots of people write letters.
A lot of people write letters into the editor of the Chronicle. The world needs to know.
Well, I think I've said all I can say about this episode. I liked it. Not quite as good as the previous one, obviously.
This was an epilogue. This was an epilogue for episode 2, basically.
Right.
That's what it felt like to me. It was an epilogue to set up the rest of the season. So,
yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, because episode 1 is almost kind of a fake out, and then episode 3 really feels like where the rest of the show will take off from.
Yeah.
So.
There's a lot of setup for this show, so yeah.
Yeah, because you've already met Oberon, but you kind of meet him again in the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, there's a lot of that kind of going around.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Going forward, hopefully they make a little more progress to ignite some of these storylines.
Yeah. Well, we have 7 more episodes to go, so that's 7 more hours. So I think we'll be good.
I think so too, yeah. We're fine.
All right, well, let's go get some ale with the Hound and work, get honest wage for honest work.
Some soup.
And some rabbit stew, cunt.
Yeah. Good night.
All right.